But assuming there is a perfect rubber band, when it's at rest, when it's at rest, nothing is done, no work can be achieved, and there is no advantage in it being a rubber band. It's just there. That's what our personality is. In order for work to be achieved by a rubber band, something to be done, a rubber band needs to stretch. That's when your personality begins to manifest. Your character, who you are, and all your strengths and all your weaknesses. Now, the moment you stretch a rubber band, if the rubber band were to break, as I'm stretching a rubber band now, there is a greater possibility that the rubber band will break in the middle here than at the side. Okay? Because the side is actually being stretched less than the center. These are all scientific laws. In the same way, when the car tire is turning and is moving, you always see shapes in this way. You realize that? As it moves very fast, you see the shape. I mean the spokes of it. You don't just see the car, it's completely round. Although you can see the round, but you can see the faint shape. You know the reason? Because when, scientifically, when a tire is moving, actually this is the shape of the tire. It's actually flat down here, where it contacts the ground. And when it contacts the ground, the tire, the part of the tire that is traveling here is slower than the part of the tire that is traveling here and here. Because of that, you tend to see the faint shadow of this position. It's so fast that your eye can only see the faint shadow. But if you look at tire the next time it's moving, you can see that shape. You can see the shape, a little bit of the shape of the spoke, as if this part is moving slower than these two parts. Scientifically, it is. So the horizontal part is slower than, the vertical part is slower than the horizontal section. And in the same way, when the earth revolves around the sun, whenever the earth is near the sun, it moves faster. Whenever the earth is far away from the sun, it moves slower. When you throw an object up, it goes up and it comes down. Okay? It goes up and it comes down. Now notice, it stays up there longer than going up and coming down. Because as it goes up, it goes to reach 0 point before it comes back down. So when it reaches the top, it's at 0 point before it comes back down and gravity pulls it. Because as I throw this fan upward, the force of gravity is pulling on it. But the acceleration that I give it by throwing it up is going against gravitational force. So as it goes up, gravitational force keeps pulling it until it reaches a point where it's zero and then it comes down again. And if it comes down again, it actually is accelerating. What is going up is decelerating. And let's say this is a planet Earth. The higher up you drop an object, the greater the impact. That is why when you are in a waterfall, at the top of the waterfall, if you are able to climb and there's a nice place to rest, you'll find that it's not so forceful. But way down at the bottom, the water has gained acceleration. We call it velocity. Velocity is measured per second, which means that if you're going 5 kilometers per second, that means every kilometer you're accelerating by an extra 5. So the first kilometer is 5, let's say you're going 5 kilometers per second. So the first kilometer is only, you're going at a speed of 5 kilometers. We're not talking about speed. Speed and velocity is different. Speed is what you travel constantly. We're not talking about your average speed. We're talking about velocity. If you're traveling at velocity of 5 kilometers per second, in the first kilometer when you start, you're going at 5 kilometers. And your tachometer in your car will show 5 kilometers. But if you're going at a velocity of 5 kilometers per second, the second kilometer you're actually going at 10 kilometers. Because you increase. Remember, every kilometer you increase by 5. That is what it means by velocity. You're not talking about speed, they're talking about velocity. At the third kilometer, you're going at 15. By the fourth kilometer, you're going actually at 20 kilometers per hour. But your increase is actually steady. You're increasing by 5 kilometers every kilometer. That's what it means. That's what it means if you hear science words, say per second, sounds so confusing, but actually it's so simple. It just means that it's increasing every second or whatever you want it. Every second, it increases. So every kilometer, it increases. You know, do whichever measurement. And in the same way, the higher you go, in fact, if you could go very high up into the sky, you don't need atomic bombs. All you need to do is drop a screwdriver. By the time, the higher you go, let's say about 50,000 feet, and you drop a screwdriver, it probably can blow up this building. Okay? It's the impact of the screwdriver per second increasing. It's tremendous. And that is why the faster you drive, the greater the accident. The impact, if you knock against something, the accident is worse than you're driving at 30 miles per hour. The same accident is different because of your impact which you hit. And in a rubber band, when you stretch it, certain parts become stronger, certain parts become weaker. And in our personalities are like rubber bands. We stretch. Thank you. Our personalities are like rubber bands. We stretch. And in my personal life, there are laws for the spirit. There are laws of relationship. We're looking at Bible relationship. These are laws that I have named them myself. I give them interesting names so you can remember them. There are laws of relationship that we need to know. When you relate to one another, when you look at Bible relationship, we're going to look at Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Samuel, David, look at their strengths and weaknesses, and then look at your strengths and weaknesses. Based on these laws, let me give you the laws first. The first law is the law of Copernicus. Copernicus. Nicholas Copernicus was the first scientist who boldly say that the earth revolves around the sun. Okay, so his name is just how you to remember. Copernicus law in relationship. Before he came forth to boldly say that, some great men and great philosophers and thinkers may have realize that it's possible that the sun is the center of the solar system, but all their a priori evidence. A priori means evidence that is received from the five senses. It's just a big word to confuse theologians. When you learn theology, you learn all these big fat words. And it just means sense knowledge. Evidences obtained through your senses. All our physical evidences and experiences show that the earth, that the sun is moving, that the stars are moving, that we are the one who are stationary. Isn't that right? And for thousands of years, mankind has believed that the earth was the center of the solar system and the universe. It caused them very complex mathematical calculations to try to calculate where the stars would be and everything. But here and there they find some inaccuracies because it was a wrong perspective. Wrong perspective. Under Copernicus, one of the many scientists, and I just named him because he was the most famous one who stood up for that fact, said that the sun is the center of our solar system and every other planet is revolving around the sun. Incidentally, for your information, the sun is also moving around its galaxy system. Neither is our sun stationary. It has its own path. Just as the moon is revolving around the earth and the earth is revolving around the sun and the sun is revolving in its position around the galaxy. Everything is moving. But looking at just the solar system, Copernicus was one of the few scientists who say that our perspective is wrong. We cannot trust what we see. We cannot trust what we feel. Although we see the sun moving, the sun is not moving, we are the one moving. Although we see the stars moving, the stars are not moving, we are moving. And so he gave a different perspective. So what is the law of Copernicus as we apply to relationships? And that law is the law of perspective. Perspective. What you see is not necessarily what is real. Because what you see depends on the beholder. If you are wearing green glasses, everybody looks green. If you are wearing red glasses, everybody looks red. And your ability to see depends more on your own ability. I love that. And that is why it's very hard to look into the depth of relationship unless you get the right perspective. You get the law of Copernicus working in your life. Once you get that correct, what are the advantages? When Nicholas Copernicus state the fact that the sun is the center of the solar system and our earth revolves around the sun and all the other planets revolve around the sun, mathematics and calculation became easier because they got the right perspective. Now they can calculate things easier. Before it was complex trying to get where things are because it was a correct perspective. As long as we don't see ourselves honestly and have the right perspective of our own self, forever you will never see others correctly. It can be terrible. Imagine living a whole life that way. For thousands of years, man has lived and died thinking that the earth was the center of the universe. And there are many people who live and die thinking that people are their enemies who were not their enemies. People who live and die thinking wrong things about other people, and they carry all their wrong opinions and wrong impressions to the grave. Isn't that sad? And today, people can relate wrongly to different people because of perspective. How you see yourself in the perspective, if you are dishonest with yourself, you'll be dishonest with people. And that dynamic is working all the time, which is why I'm not very affected by what people say, by what people think, because everything that people say is a reflection of themselves also. Sadhu Sundar Singh says, when a rumor is passed on, evil people tend to believe it because they want to believe it, without question. Good people tend to check it out and disbelieve it. And he says, the rumor also shows forth people's heart. Now these are things that John, the apostle, talks about in a different way in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. Look, some people have left the church of Jesus Christ. Some of the false prophets, some of the wrong people. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They were never a part of them. And this is the apostolic church. The apostle John was still around. The church were already having problems, but the apostles were still alive. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. What a statement. What is he trying to say here? He's saying that in the end what is happening shows forth what is really right and what is really wrong. And if you look at the gist of what he's trying to say here, he's saying that in a sense, Allah is permitting it so that there will be a division between what is right and what is wrong, and John is saying he stands for what is right.
Can you see that?
And in the same way of looking at perspective, as long as we don't see ourselves correctly, we will never see others correctly. Unless you accept yourself, you can never accept others. It is a powerful law if you understand it taking place all the time. And the dynamics that are working behind relationships. These things are working all the time. This sounds like psychology class. We can call it Christian psychology. But it's working all the time. It's working all the time as you relate to one another. Let's say that, why do some pastors feel insecure? Because of that law. And they do things to protect their territory. They do things to secure their own ministry. Or like they're Saul, they feel insecure. Why? They haven't accepted themselves as they are. They have no confidence in themselves, isn't that right? Therefore, they have no confidence in others. That law is working. If you don't have confidence in yourself, you can never have confidence in other people. A confident person, confidence in a good sense, not in a bad sense, not being depending on the flesh, but more confidence, the kind of well-being that you sense that you're able to do it in Christ. If you don't have confidence in yourself, you can never, ever, the rest of your life be confident in other people. The way you deal with them, you will always be insecure. You always be checking on them. You always never trust them. These things are going on and they are real and they are true. It's this law of perspective. And then a person who is very money-minded, it doesn't matter how they cloth their words, a person is very money-minded, materialistic, will always look at the materialistic realm in other people. And they will always do that. They'll always be looking at, you know, what people are wearing, how expensive their watches are, how expensive their shirt are, you know. And they're always passing comments like that. You know why? They are that way themselves. They are that way. What kind of cars people drive, what kind of this, and they're the first people who will make noise however you spend the money. What they are becomes radiated towards everyone whom they see. Materialism. And they look through the eyes of materialism and they comment on this. So every criticism is also a mirror of the critic. That's why it's dangerous to criticize. Every time you say somebody is wrong, there's a potential that you are the one who is wrong and that fellow could be right. Perspective is important. When we have the right perspective, who we are, our strengths, our weaknesses. And that's where friendship comes in. Because as you relate to friends who are real and true, you begin to know your strengths and your weaknesses. And you begin to have a true perspective of yourself. Sometimes people don't have a true perspective of themselves and they think they can do some things which everybody knows they can't do. Sometimes you come across a young man or young lady or whatever it is, and in a ministry, he says, "Pastor, I want to do this. I know I can do this. I can preach like that." You know they can't. You could be more experienced than them. They have a wrong perspective of themselves. They think of themselves more highly than what they really are. And when they're given the opportunity, they fail. And they feel miserable. They didn't know you're trying to protect them. And from their failures, and they have to learn the perspective to the hard way. Other people could be the opposite. They may not realize that they could do it. They are overwhelmed on the shy side, and they literally have to be pushed into something. People like Philip the evangelist, I mean, he didn't know there was a gift of evangelist in his life. As he was running away from the persecution, and as the preaching, suddenly here comes a great evangelist. Who would dream that he could be doing all those things? But it was inside of him all the time. Maybe his shyness, maybe his low esteem prevented him from coming forth. Maybe he was overwhelmed by all these great apostles around him and just doesn't feel that mighty around him. But there were evidence of it even in Acts chapter 6. There were things that came forth in his life, signs and wonders. And he just needed a little encouragement to go further. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 12. The gifts of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now this was in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Different ministry gifts. And Paul says, we need to think of ourselves in the right measure. Not with an inferiority complex, which is bad. Not with a superiority complex, which is bad. But to see ourselves in the right perspective. And the moment we get a right perspective, there are advantages that we begin to see. Honesty begins to flow forth. Sometimes it takes different events to knock some sense into our head, where we don't realize who we are and what we are. So in relationships, the law of Copernicus is the law of relating to yourself. How you relate to yourself is how you will relate to others. How you relate to yourself is how you relate to others. If you think badly about yourself, you will always think badly of others easily. And you will find it difficult to relate to others. And that is why, as we want to build relationships and learn to build biblical relationships, it is impossible to relate correctly unless you relate correctly to yourself. Yourself, your own spirit, soul and body relating to itself. If there is disharmony within, you can never have harmony without. You can see in the life of Saul, his main problem was not the nation of Israel. His main problem was not the people around him. His main problem was himself. He just didn't see himself the way he should, his strengths and weaknesses. He didn't admit his weaknesses. There are times that he seemed to admit before David, when David spared his life, but he went back to his old way. Sometimes circumstances knock our wrong perspective. Because every time you have the wrong perspective, circumstances will knock on your life. And I can assure you, if things keep happening in your life over and over and over and over again, the same occurrence, the same mistakes, and you don't seem to be overcoming them, you better check yourself. You could be wrong here. And it sometimes takes 20, 30 years for us to get the right perspective. It took men thousands of years to get Copernicus' law. Of course, not his law, it's God's law, but he discovered it. I mean, let's say that if you are someone who, before you came to Bible school, and you cannot keep jobs, you just go from one job to another, to another, to another. And when you talk to people like that, sometimes they don't seem to see that they have a problem. They think that each place that they go employ, something is wrong. Hello? And they always justify. Now, justification is an art that human beings learn from the Garden of Eden. Just because you can justify yourself doesn't make your perspective right. A thief will learn how to justify himself to make himself look like Robin Hood. Just because you got a reason for what you do doesn't mean that it's right. Reasoning is not enough. That is why we need the Word of God, and we need God to show us. Who can show us this perspective? I believe only God can do it. And sometimes God uses people who are honest with you. So we have to examine our lives. Are you having recurring problems? I have known this person and this sister, and she constantly had this problem with different relationships, and she would go from one to another, to another, to another, to another, and all the time she justified herself. She never see that she's wrong. Sometimes she seems to see that she's wrong, just like Saul in the Bible, but she revert back to the old self. And the sad fact is, when this is not working, what happens in a person's life? There is no change. Because the law of Copernicus, the right perspective, means that there will be change in your life. God doesn't change. Second and third remain the same. It's you who change. The thing that we want to see in our life is to determine whether we have grown, we have changed. I know that we all change, but do we change at the speed God wants us, or are we too slow, or are we trying to get it too fast? Some change cannot come too fast. They will create problems when you grow too fast. But change is something that we all need to have. I'm sure you know the scriptures for change. Glory to glory, and all these other scriptures. We change from glory to glory, we change from grace to grace, glory to glory, faith to faith, all these other scriptures show that we are transformed into different aspects. Now, if we don't change, who is the loser? In the end, it's we. What was the problem with the people in the book of Numbers for 40 years? They refused to change. What was wrong with them? Although they were out of Egypt, Egypt was still in them. They think like Egypt. Their appetites were like Egypt. Everything was still Egyptian. They never change. And if we don't change on the inside, and this is the law of the spirit. Now we're talking about law of spirit, not the law of relationship. In the law of the spirit, unless you change inside, outside things never change. You never receive anything externally until you change internally. In many relationships, many husbands and wives, many spouse, many loved ones, one of the dynamics that are taking place, I know many husbands praying for their wives to be born again, or many wives praying for their husbands to be born again, and sometimes I look at it, I realize it's the believing one who needs to change also. They want their unbelieving spouse to change and be converted, but it's the believing one that needs to change. And if they will change, they will see some change in their spouse. It's the same law. The believing spouse keep blaming the unbelieving spouse. But the fact is, they are not acting in love. Everybody is different. So every marriage is different. Every relationship is different. I agree. Some are tougher than others. Yes, depend on different type of personality. But whatever it is, as long as we grow in love and change, all change is measured by love, growth in love. In relationship, when we change, your spouse will change. I can guarantee that. I'm not afraid to guarantee that. What kind of husband you're married to? It could be a nauseous put. All the time you've been reacting. He's always like that one. In front of people, counseling, sometimes before the pastor. He's always like that one. You know who's the one who has a change? And the toad just sits there and burp. Doesn't defend himself because he's used to her doing like that all the time. And then you're sitting as a pastor counseling, and these ladies keep blaming her husband. You know who needs to change? It's sad. There are never those more blind than those who never want to see their own fault. But it's so apparent to everybody except to them. It's amazing. If this lady will change, and you know what she should do, what the Bible says, 1 Peter 3, zip her mouth. From that day onward, we should say, sister, I would never do that. I mean, it's too radical. Sister, for the next 1 year, don't say a word to your husband. And all you do every time he comes back is just love him. Anything you want to say, these are the words you can say. I love you. Hello, dear. Hello, darling. You are the sweetest husband in the world. Do it like Pastor Barnabas style. All kinds of things. And, oh, yes, yes. And give him a hug every day and see what happens to your toad. Soon he slowly turns into a frog. Slowly he starts changing into a prince. Again, perspective. Perspective. Who is the real one who needs changing? The law of the spirit is that we don't change the outward until we change the inward. It's an established law. We learn laws of the spirit. Now, we learn laws of relationship. If you don't get the perspective right, you will never ever the rest of your time be able to relate properly. We always blame other people in relationships. Anything that goes wrong. I know there can be just a reason to point the faults of people. But whatever the reasons are, whatever the faults and weaknesses, you can never withhold the love of God to them. You can never withhold forgiveness to them. Our example is Jesus. Whatever they did to him, he still could love. And in the end, the failure of all relationships is the failure to take up agape love. That's the main failure. And God was dealing as much with the Christian as much as with the unbelieving spouse. Because the Christian spouse refused to grow in love. And refused to love the toad until the toad becomes a prince. But God was saying, I want you to love the toad before the toad becomes a prince. Say, no, 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 no. So it's a different fairy tale story. Once upon a time there was a prince, he got turned into a frog. And his only way to break the spell was that he get kissed from a princess. So here comes a princess, and finally she is told the truth, that if she kissed the frog, that the frog will turn. And she said, no, unless he turns to a prince, then I kiss him. And he says, no. Then they say, no, unless you kiss him, he won't turn into a prince. Say, no, 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 which one will you change first? Do you know the poor frog can never change himself? Because he's a frog and he doesn't know God. Needs to be born again. Bullfrogs, butterflies. They've all been born again. He's just a frog. Doesn't know better. You're the one with the ability to break the chains of darkness. You're the one who can give the kiss of love. Right? The frog doesn't. All the frog knows that it stick out his long tongue and eat flies. The unbelieving frog. Under the spell of darkness, you're the only one with agape love to change the world. And yet, we believers don't want to change. Now, talking about relationship between believers and believers. There are strong believers and weak believers, correct? Guess who now has to play the role of the princess? And who plays the role of the frog? The strong one plays the role of the princess. And the weak believer plays the role of the frog. Because when you compare, the stronger one has the greater ability to change. So at all times, looking at the circumstances, we need to walk in love in a correct perspective. There are no relationships that are impossible. It's only different lengths and different degrees. Which is why we need to develop an ability to relate to all kinds of people. All kinds of people. And I don't understand people who say, oh, I can never sit down with a person. Look, I can sit down with any people. I may not work with them closely because we differ in methodology, but we should always be able to love everybody. We should. Some people are just like that story of the Good Samaritan. We call ourselves priests or pastors or evangelists or Bible students or the born again, spirit filled, tongue talking, Bible carrying, demon chasing, Holy Ghost baptized, three times baptized in water, believer. And we see the person in need who cannot help themselves. And we are walking on the same side of the road, we see from afar, cross the road, walk the other side. Pretend not to see. There are many believers reacting that way in relationships. If you're unwilling to sit face to face with someone whom you're having a bad relationship and trash things out, it's you who has something wrong. No matter how difficult the relationship, you must always be willing to sit around. If at the most you want, get weaknesses and trash things out, settle it. And if you cannot fully understand, at least be disagree without being disagreeable. It's my philosophy. with anyone, no matter how different, we can sit, chat. We know where our differences are, but let's choose not to quarrel. If we lack the ability, we are the one with something wrong. This law of relationship is not working. The law of perspective. How we relate to ourselves is how we relate to others. We can never really see ourselves the way we are. Except sometimes the mirror of the Word of God and God Himself. Sometimes circumstances bring it to your own attention. How do we know that this one is not working yet? If you continue to have the same cycles of problems but different actors. You are the star. But different. Different. You could go to one church and then you struggle. All this struggle. You excuse yourself. You come for counseling. Everything. You counsel with Pastor David, Pastor Paul, Pastor Peter. Everyone. Counsel with Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. Everyone. And they tell you all the same story. And then finally you excuse yourself. Yes, I got to leave this church. And you go. 2 years later, you join another church. And the same thing crops up. This time, the bad guy there was Mr. Bandito. Now this guy is Mr. Weirdo. Right? But you are the star again. The hero. Right, same story. If that keeps happening for the next 10 years in 5 churches, I think you are the one who has something wrong. When will we change? I always tell many married couples who are quarreling, many people say, when would you like to change? Would you like to change when you're 70 years old, when you're both so old, carrying the tongkat, and you stop quarreling? Or even when you're 70 years old, carrying a tongkat, see quarrel, fight with the tongkat. When will you start quarreling? Sometimes I talk to young couples. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I talk to young couples. And all married people disagree in some areas. Don't fool yourself. You are different characters. We learn to love one another. We don't have to agree in everything. But we trash out things. We sit down, discuss, trash out things. And I hope your marriage is not... And some people say, oh no, my marriage is never... We never have any disagreement. We never have any discussion. In fact, we never ever quarrel over anything. If you study that marriage very carefully, one of them is Pharaoh. The other is a slave. That is why there was no quarrel. Because anything quarrel, the Pharaoh says, heel, sit, stand, wag a tail, sit, stand. Right. Sometimes that could be the man. Surprisingly, sometimes there's a woman. And the man says, yes, dear, yes, dear. That is not a good marriage. It's not an equal marriage. It's a marriage of unequal. One side is a slave, the other side is Pharaoh, waiting for Moses with the 10 plagues. So don't fool yourself. You learn each person's distance and each person's character, and you learn to relate. We need the correct perspective. Correct perspective. The law of Copernicus. How you see yourself. And sometimes you think through and pray through something. And if, I repeat again, your problems come in constant cycles, separated by several years, something is wrong. You better deal with it. You have a character problem. And if we're not honest with you to point it out to you, you'll be suffering until you're 70 and still didn't realize it. 120 and still didn't realize it. And if we really love you, we're going to tell you. Because we don't want to save you another 50 heartaches that you may have in that cycle. So because we love you, we're going to tell you that. And sometimes people change so slowly. There's a sister I know who is a great evangelist, great in the gift of evangelism. But she's not a pastor. Because of her zeal, she always gets new people and turn them on to the Lord. Hallelujah, let's go evangelizing. And after some time, some of the things she say, the Lord say, is not what the Lord say. She's too domineering. And at first, those people who are under her, oh yes, because they see some signs and wonders. They see some results. Yes, yes,
She is the prophet. She is the evangelist. I'll follow her wherever she leads me. Slowly their lives get dominated. She wakes them up in the morning and says, "The Lord says, let's go now. The Lord says, let's pray. The Lord says, the Lord says, the Lord says, the Lord says." And I have to counsel people who will be under her ministry. They can only last sometimes a few months, sometimes a strong one, a couple of years. But never longer than that. They will always say, "What to do? I can't take it anymore." And I've always tried to tell her, "Look, this is wrong. Why do you try to pastor when you're an evangelist?" And she changed so slowly, almost like slow motion. If she doesn't change faster, by the time she's 70, she still haven't reached here. I had to counsel people under her ministry and people she win from the street. I mean, they were brought to Christ by her. So people are brought to Christ by you, tend to be loyal to you. Do you realize that? They can be easily taken advantage of, which is why you got to be careful. Some of you young men, you're going to witness to a lady, you know. It happened to a beautiful lady, she accepts Christ. Oh, you are their hero. And just because she thinks you are the hero doesn't mean you take advantage of her. Or the reverse. Those who we win to Christ will in a sense be eternally grateful to us. But don't take advantage of the situation. Train them and send them. And so she would dominate their lives until their own families break down. Until their finances break down. Everything breaks down. And when they break down, thank God, some of them come to our church and they ask for help. What to do now? And I was very firm. I said, "Look, not everything she said that says the Lord is the Lord." And they never dare to question that. But when you hear from another man or God who dare to question that, then they walk out to the right perspective. That look, they have the wrong perspective all the time. And then they begin to find themselves. But sadly, that is how sometimes the way people conduct themselves, they never see their problems. And she has been having that cycle of problems. And recently, just 1 month ago, another new person came to see me, who has been saved under ministry, following her, and said, "Look, I got this problem." I said, "I heard this before. This is now about the fifth time I'm hearing this. When will she change?" "I don't know. When will she change?" "I don't know." Wrong perspective. She just doesn't see it. In the end, you can call it unteachable. That is why we ask ourselves, do you have a spiritual father or mother? Do you have spiritual friends who can correct you if you're wrong? If your answer is no, it's very dangerous. And then if your answer is yes, I got another question for you. Do you receive those corrections? Because many people float from one spiritual father to another. The moment their spiritual father tried or mother tried to correct them, they float to another one. That is why we ask ourselves, do you have a spiritual father or mother? Do you have spiritual friends who can correct you if you're wrong? If your answer is no, it's very dangerous. And then if your answer is yes, I got another question for you. Do you receive those corrections? Because many people float from one spiritual father to another. The moment their spiritual father tried or mother tried to correct them, they float to another one. I'll be your spiritual son and daughter as long as you don't spank me. The moment they try to correct, you jump to another one. You see, same story. You just spiritualize it. Are we willing to change? Now, I realize sometimes we sincerely want to change, but we fall back to our old weaknesses. But that's a different story. At least, you remain pliable. It's pure gold. One of the qualities of gold is pliable. You can take one little ounce and stretch it for miles. That's the ability of gold. Above all metals, it's the most pliable of all metals. You can spread it so thin until it's one atom or a few atoms thin, and it still holds together. So we need to become pure gold. Perspective. Who we are. Who we are. The law of relating to yourself. How do you relate to yourself? Important question. Second law.
Wow.
We have Just looking at the laws first. Newton's law. Look like we're studying science. Oh, you know, I'm just using this as illustration. Newton's law. With every action, there is an equal opposite reaction. With every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. So that, let's say, if I push this board, the board moves. I don't move on this earth. But I don't move because my foot is holding fast to the ground and absorbing the opposite reaction. In space, one of the strangest phenomena is, let's say you take a ball. In space, if you take a ball and you throw it, like on this earth, if you throw a ball and it goes, only the ball flies and you don't fly. But in space, if you take a ball and you throw it, the ball will fly that way, you will fly that way. With every action, there is an opposite and, don't forget the word, equal reaction. Not just reaction, equal reaction. Those who use guns know that the more powerful the gun, the more careful they have to position it, because they call it the recoil. When you go, it hits you back. It can even make you blue-black if you're not trained. It's a recoil. I haven't handled a gun before, but I had an opportunity to own a gun. My father works in the police department and he had a rifle. When he went home to be with the Lord, there are only two sons, me and my brother. So they say, what to do with father's gun? I say, Peter, can you keep that gun? I mean, the license can be transferred. So I said, no way. I don't want to be known as a pastor with a rifle. I say, no. My conscience wouldn't let me keep it. Because even if there's a real opportunity to self-defense, I don't think I would do it that way. And neither do I go hunting for ducks or anything. Or wild boars. I said, no, I won't. I said, let my brother keep it. This is not a pastor. He's a business, in the business world. So let him keep it. Thank God I don't have a gun. When every time I go back and look at the gun, I don't know what to do with that. And it would just... I don't feel right, like, as a pastor to have a gun. Although in the US, pastors do have guns. That's a different story, right? But the law of Newton's law, with every action there is an equal opposite reaction. Now this law you need to understand about your personality. Every time you stretch that rubber band, the stretch on that section will be equal by another stretch on the opposite side to balance out. That's why you can never stretch just one side, you've got to stretch two sides. And you put it on something and stretch it, the other thing that's holding is absorbing the force of it stretching. Now this is an interesting observation, right? All these are not from psychology books. I read tons of psychology books, but none of them apply to spiritual law. We learn some things, but they're not complete. These are things that we derive from our own study, Christian psychology. Newton's law, you never find it in any psychology book. But as we're looking at Christian psychology and studying biblical relationships and how to relate to one another and Bible relationships, dynamics of group relationships, personal relationships, Newton's law applies in relationships. Now this is how the law is. That every time a person stretch forth, let's say, and become a domineering character. Okay, how do I draw a domineering character? Okay, very fierce face, straight. Okay, and here's his hand. Clenched feet. Dominating character. So the person allows, let's say the person's personality, I think of a ball. So the person hardens this section. Hardens this section of his personality. Alright? To be domineering, you've got to be tough and hard. You harden, you clench your feet. when you do that, with every action there is an opposite equal reaction. This is how the reaction takes place. In order to compensate for this hardness, this is very strange. It's the opposite. This part becomes soft. It's not this part hard, this part becomes hard. Not applied in a natural Newton's law. This is Newton's law as it's applied to Christian psychology. To be hard here, he cannot survive as a human being unless he becomes soft here. Otherwise, he turns into a monster. Some do, and they become monsters. But to survive and be firm and hard, he got to have an equal opposite softness that he shows up somewhere, or he becomes a weirdo, mad, or something like that. He will go mentally imbalanced. These are my own discoveries. And so, for this person to be firm, this person may need to have a home that is soft, loving, and the wife could be very soft, like Ruth kind of wife. And then the person is quite balanced, even normal. The person remains like a human being. But if a person doesn't have that, and outside his heart, at home he's hard, in his work he's hard, everybody is hard, boom, one day he cracks down. You cannot survive long that way. Some have tried, but my observation, people will crack. The pressure is too great. You know, if you look at Newton's law, this side to be hard, to take the pressure, this side is softened, and all the pressure runs to this side, to withstand. So actually the ball loses part of its mass, or rather part of its roundness. And if this part doesn't bend, let's say this is the ground, and the more you press it, this part is hard. But this part has to be soft in order to make this part hard. Soft and press against the ground, so part of the ball becomes flattened on this side. If this part doesn't become flattened, you know what will happen? The ball will burst. The ball will burst. It can't stand the pressure. In our human relationships, there are dynamics. And let's say there's an equal opposite. Let's say that if your character is very extrovert, you know, kind of. Nobody may know you, but because I study all these things, I know. There's an opposite side of you that is actually quite withdrawn. Your real you got another part of you quite withdrawn. Withdrawn. And there is, it is there because it is produced by this reaction produces this. Automatic. And if I can tap on that character of yours and you understand that part of you. That's why some people don't understand themselves. Remember? And they're back to law one. They don't understand themselves. You don't understand yourself, you cannot understand others. So, if you are like this type of character, you know, always extrovert, you come to class, hello everybody, kind of thing. You're real extrovert, and you don't understand why sometimes you feel so withdrawn. Even though you're like that, yet on your inside, sometimes you feel this need to just, you feel that you don't want to talk to anybody. And you don't understand yourself. This Newton's law is taking place. And you just need that. And let's say as a public figure, you will notice this of good leaders and good. Leaders are public figures, correct? We live in a glass house all the time. The greater the leader to lead his people, the greater the leader needs solitude also. Leaders who know how to seek solitude to be alone, while they are very great with people in public, become very balanced. But when your public life increase and your private life don't increase, dangerous. Let's say under the normal circumstances, okay, this is your pie chart, I call it. So your public life increase. This black shade, half of it, I'm shading for those hearing this tape, half of the pie chart that represents the public life.
And then using the blue ink, your private life is only a small piece of the pie.
Let's say nearly 1/16.
And let's take the green. And this is your friendship part of your life and family life, you know, your life with people. Fewer people than this black one. That takes nearly 7/16 of your life. Nearly a great portion of your life.
You cannot continue to exist this way without breaking down. Why do people break down? Why do they break down in stress? You heard of burnout, breakdown, only you heard all these things. I never have all those problems. Because I discovered this loss early in life.
And even though my time will get busier and busier, yet I always still have these things and it's fine with me. So if this increased to that much, you need to increase the proportion of your solitude. Of course, it never increased to this point where it's exactly half, then you got no more place for family life. That would be wrong. If you're a single man, fine. I mean, you live for that and you have this private thing. Okay? If you're a family man, probably you will be taking this portion, which is, how do we divide that? Alright? And let's say that this is one sixth of your family life, and that leaves about 5/6 here, and of the 5, you have 2.5/6, and here 2.5/6 part of your life, nearly half of your life, 2.5/6 of your life, public life. You must have an equal one here in your solitude to balance it. Well, here is balanced by itself in your family. Now, my proportions may not be realistic because nobody gives that much of their life to the public area. And if you do, sometimes they sacrifice a family, which happens, you heard about it. Public figures sacrifice a family, and in the end, this part of their life breaks down. So some people try to give nearly half their life and the other half, and they are only giving this part to solitude and the other part family. Before long they find they cannot survive, they take more and more of their private life to prepare for public life, and their family breaks down. Newton's law, Christian psychology. With every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Now the opposite reaction is really opposite. Heart needs softness to be human. If you're soft on the outside, I know one a couple I ministered to, the husband is so soft outside. Yes. And everybody looks outside, oh what a nice man he is, how gentle. But he's a record of beating on his wife. Always we are called to counsel. Because behind the back, he beat the wife. With the soft thing he saw outside, is because he's already satisfied all his energy at home. All his anger already released at home. So in public, no more. So soft. Hallelujah. We need to be balanced. We need to learn all the balances of it. It would be good if you don't stretch yourself under this way. You know? Wow, so abnormally soft, you're going to be abnormally hard at home. Abnormally hard, you're going to be abnormally soft on that side. Just be normally soft. And then you're normally hard. It's an interesting perspective. Let's say, a person who tries to live a celibate life and drowns all their sexual desires. Outside looks like a hero. A lot of priests or all that looks like they're celibate. Looks like they show no interest at all in sexual desire. No interest at all in women. Publicly turns away from all women. Let me tell you in private. Yeah.
that person will love to see a female shape. Will be tempted to see female shapes in every way. The very opposite. Christian psychology. And will be drilling over his saliva when he sees a female in swimming suit. That is why it is important to be balanced. You see? Let's say that in my relationship with female, with women in the ministry is balanced. I know how to sit with them, talk with them, real sisters, and be really the good brother. Can tease one another, disturb one another, but know that the relationship doesn't go anywhere, it's just a platonic friendship. Then, outside, you're quite balanced with other relationships. Then, opposite, a person who is a Casanova. I mean, in public, it's so obvious. Any beautiful girl who comes, the person goes near, sits next to her. May I borrow your pen, please? Thank you. Try to make friends. Try to be fresh with whatever beautiful girls you can see. And try to date them. Take them out. Buy them presents. I mean, it's always a Casanova. And all throughout the lecture, the eyes of the person goes towards the lady. Let me tell you. In private, with every action there is an equal opposite reaction. In private, the person doesn't really treat women well. And he can be very angry at women for the slightest fault. Surprising. So I hope that helps you to choose your life partner better. Balance people. People who are imbalanced need to balance. Now, it doesn't mean people cannot change. People can change. People can change. Things do change. God does change. Prayer does change people. You know, circumstances, people learn, people change. But we need to know those dynamics are working all the time. And I know many people who are Casanova type, they have no respect for women whatsoever. They don't have a healthy regard for women at all. They're extreme. They can be very cruel. Although they look like they're very kind, they love women. Women is the spice of his life. They got an equal hatred for women that will come out here and there. They will be very cruel to women. At the same time, the person who is so tender and soft to a woman can be very cruel in hurting their feelings. It's equal and opposite. That's the only way that it is balanced. If he never balances it that way, although he doesn't even know subconsciously he's balancing it that way. Just like when I throw a ball, subconsciously my body creates a pressure so that I don't go backwards. The subconscious is working all the time. If the person doesn't have balance, what happens? The person breaks down, becomes mad, mental imbalance, or emotional wreck. People who are that way, who are in the funny farm, the madhouse, or whatever, or crack, and nervous breakdown, you know people have nervous breakdown, all the things, it's because they cannot balance anymore. They got no more emotional balance, no more character balance. And they go, cuckoo. That's sad. Newton's law in relationship. Now we will look at all those things. Once I state the law, we can analyze all these people under those laws and you can see it perfectly in the Bible. Although I haven't used much of the Bible now, I'm just sharing for my analysis and experience. They are showing from the Bible. This is there in the Bible. And that is why you see a person like David, who is strong morally. I mean, he carries himself. He carries himself morally, conscience, sensitive. But suddenly you see he has one weakness, women. Can you see that? His moral strength could not match up. You know, if he had a good wife who meets all his needs, sadly, David didn't have a happy family life to balance his life. In helping thousands of people, being self-sacrificial to protect women, protect children, everything, He needs a counterbalance behind the scene, which he didn't have. Sadly, his first marriage broke down. Not because of him, Saul broke it down, chased him out, and Michal married another person. Then, he probably was still looking for a good wife. And the moment he found a good woman who could counsel, it attracted him, Abigail, remember? And yet, it still didn't satisfy. He probably never could get over. Obviously, he never got over Michal, his first love. And when the moment he got his kingdom, who did he ask for the first thing? Michal. And Michal became a torture to him. Michal, imagine, for Michal said, come back, hey, David already got 3-4 wives. Of course she reacts as a woman. How can, you know? And all this thing. And she never really went back into the good old times. And constantly David was being hacked at the back by all these women. I mean, Abigail may be different from all the rest. Constantly. And they may fuss and fight. Until, although his public life was increasing, his private life was not increasing properly to sustain him. His care for the nation was not matched by the care that he could receive from his family. That he went for Bathsheba. Hello there. These are the background dynamics that were played. We can see more of that afterwards. I need to give the third law before you hear the break. Third law, Einstein's law. Einstein's law. What is Einstein's law? E equals to mc squared. What kind of psychology? Einstein's law. A famous equation, E equals to mc squared. Energy equals to mass times the speed of light squared. The square of the speed of light. M stands for mass, C for the speed of light squared, E for energy. Now, Einstein's law was very important in science because his law crossed a boundary that science never crossed. When he came up with his law, he is saying that matter and energy can be converted to each other. Up to his time, for scientists, energy is energy. Light is light. Molecules and atoms are molecules and atoms. There is no bridge that joins the two. They remain separate. And Einstein came and said, no, the two are linked. And when he linked the two, he says, energy can be converted into matter and matter can be converted into energy. And based on that understanding, the atomic bomb was made. Because of that, man know it's possible to split the atom and release the energy in the atom. It became theoretically possible. When they understood it could be theoretically possible, man took the effort and the time, believing in that, to create the atomic bomb, which brought us into the atomic age. So, what are we saying here? The third law, Einstein's law. I call it a law of exchange or interchangeability. So you can see the energy equals to mass times the speed of light squared, the square of the speed of light. That means that if you don't have the mass, as long as you have this amount of energy, it's still equal to this. It's convertible. Material is converted to energy, energy converted to material. That same statement says that energy can create matter. It's a tremendous law. Now, as we bring you to Christian psychology, we need to balance Newton's law. Newton's law, where every action has an opposite and equal reaction in our character. Hardness balanced with softness. Publicness balanced with love for solitude. And different things balance with different things. There are a lot of equations. But the equation becomes more interesting when you know that what you balance with can be interchanged into something. Now let me make it a bit more complex. So follow that. Let's say you're doing Christian psychology in this first section. Let's say this is your character. I draw a circle. And so half of your character, let's say, goes to public life. In a general sense, let's say you're a celibate and you don't have a family, you could have equally, using Newton's law, equal that with a solitude, and you become a very balanced person, a solid leader. You don't go crazy or haywire, spring loose, or type A personality, stress, breakdown, nervous burnout. You don't have all these things because you balance it. There are other ways you could balance it based on Einstein's law. Which means, let's say mass times the speed of light squared. Which means that, let's say, all these public things create a sort of hardness. Okay? Hardness. So the total E is here, the energy. Can you see the energy that is here? This half represents the energy, the public life. So these things can be divided into, let's say, M and C squared. Correct? So M times C squared equals to this half. I don't have to be exactly E equals to opposite E. Understand what I mean? E equals to the opposite of the E. The reverse of E. I don't have to do that. Okay, let's do the equation again. It doesn't have to be... Oh, better take a different color. It doesn't have to be E on this side and the reverse E that looks like a 3 here for those listening to this tape. I have a circle, I divide the two, and one side I draw the letter E, the other side I draw the letter reverse of E, the mirror effect of E. So if this is there, it's a mirror effect, Newton's law is a mirror effect, it doesn't have to be exactly like that, based on Einstein's law. So if this side, okay, remove all those little drawings, on this side, it can be E still, but this side I can divide that reverse E into M and C squared. Can you see that? It means that there are multiples now. A can be equal to X plus Y. A, of course, is equal to A. Hello there. But A can also be equal to X plus Y. And this is not X plus Y. Which means that they may not be, this is E equals the public life, is the opposite solitude. But I can see that solitude can be divided into different things. Okay? Solitude can be divided into different things. And that solitude can be maybe solitude with one person whom you love. Hello there. And so a great leader can have a great wife and may not be a celibate. And the amount of time he spends with this one spouse, a great woman or great man, equal to that T squared. And this part is his personal study life. And it still can exist in that way as a good leader without breaking down, because somehow he finds solitude in his wife. Hello? Understood? Equation too complex. Is that okay here? Anybody understood? Right. So we realize that an energy of E can be reversed with a reverse energy of E, or reversed with other forms of energy. Like, we know that light energy always comes through heat. There's always heat first before you got light energy. And basically, the light that you have in the filament bulb, the same one that was discovered by Thomas Edward Edison, this sounds like a science class, is to find a wire with the highest resistance. So when the electrons are going through the wire, the electrons got to keep bouncing and hitting all the different molecules. That's what I mean by a lot of resistance. It really has a lot of resistance. If it's a good conductor like copper or silver, the electrons, it's just like a highway. In a highway, you just go zoom, put on auto cruise. So the electron goes zoom, it passes through, good conductor. But when you have a lot of resistance, the electrons keep knocking. Keep knocking all kinds of molecules along the way. Every time it knocks, it creates energy. At the same time, it loses energy. It, because the energy is changed into other forms of energy. And that form of energy is changed to is light. That is why when it passed through heat energy, rather heat energy, that is why the heat energy accumulates, and if it's very, very strong, you can use it as an iron. It just has a resistor inside. Irons are very simple electrically. It just have a good resistor inside. And if that resistance is even more stronger, it will sort of glow and produce light. The heat energy is so much, it reaches a certain level, it produces light. And so what did men do? In a filament bulb, the electrical energy go to filaments like tungsten. That is so much resistance, that it creates so much heat, and the heat creates light, and we have the light bulb. But men began to look at it and say, that is a lot of wastage. It may take 10,000 electrons to produce that. Why not produce the same thing with 1,000 electrons? Correct? We don't want the heat. I mean, you don't want to heat up the room. You only want to light up the room. So, fluorescent lamp is invented. In a fluorescent lamp, what happens is that the electricity goes through the same thing. They still have an element inside. But that element is being treated differently. The electricity is flowing, it goes it's going on and off in milliseconds your eyes cannot see. It is not like a filament light bulb that glows constantly. This fluorescent lamp is going on and off so fast that your eyes cannot see. And they added a gas around the filament, so that by going on and off, they use very little electricity. As little as possible. And they have a starter and all those things. Know why they call it a starter? So that the energy is there, on and off. And as little electron as possible, they release doses of electrons. Every time they release, the element that they use reacts with the gas. And the light is actually coming up from the gas inside that thing as much as from the filament. Can you see that? And the gas that they put already has enough electrons to react and produce light. And so, what they did, they add the electrons inside first. So they cut off your electrical usage, because let's say it takes 10,000 electrons to produce, this is only hypothetical, 10,000 electrons to produce light. Under normal circumstances, you pump 10,000 and you get light. But if I put 9,000 permanently there, I only need to add 1,000 more, and I get light. Can you see the simple fact? And so by that, I save electricity. But I have to buy the bulb. At first, it was expensive to create this bulb, but more and more people use it, it becomes cheaper. So based on those areas, we realize that there can be interchange. That, let's say you stretch yourself on this area or half. The other half may not be in Newton's law and equal opposite. It can be a mix. X plus Y plus Z plus anything else. Equation. And those make up an equal thing. In different proportion. That makes the equation very interesting. Because that enters into multiples that we cannot count. Just like the gifts of the Spirit can be very simple. 9 gifts of the Spirit, 5-fold ministries. Correct? But you add them together, it can become interesting. A prophet may need 2 revelation gifts and the gift of prophecy to be a prophet. So the prophet can have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the gift of prophecy, he becomes a prophet. He can see the future, he can see the past and the present. He understands. But he has no discerning of spirit, cannot see spiritual world. Another prophet can have the discerning of spirit, the word of prophecy and the word of wisdom. Doesn't have the word of knowledge, but always see the future. Same office, different prophet, different combination. So there are many combinations that we can have, even with 9 gifts, 5 offices. You can see it becomes multiple the combination, and no 2 apostles are the same, no 2 prophets are the same, no 2 evangelists are the same, because of all the combination factors they can add. And add to the fact that each gift has different ways to manifest, and you have multiples of combination. So that no 2 ministries are the same. And that makes the equation interesting. Now looking at Christian psychology, where there is an action on one part, there is an opposite equal reaction. Now the opposite equal reaction can be divided into different little sub-reactions, as long as the total equals this. then you balance. And like I say, the illustration of a person who is a good public figure, instead of having equal private life as a celibate, a person is married. So if his family provides the solitude, then plus the private personal time, it can be equal. Hello there. That's why even though I'm a public figure, when I'm with my family, I like to just be with my family alone. And I pull my family, and for me, family time means real family time. I just like to have the family. No other friends, just the family. Quite family oriented man. Most of the time you find me traveling, I pull my family along. Hello there. It is important to note that we must know the various areas of equation. Let's take another example as we close. Let's say that a person is an area where he has to be very hard. He's dealing with tough character. He's a drug addict ministry, dealing with criminals. And when you deal, you're going to be tough to deal with that. So he has to be very tough, like a war zone. Now we know the opposite is he must have a place where he can be soft to be human. Otherwise he cracks. Maybe it could be family where everyone is soft and he could be, oh, so nice to be soft again. So he could unstretch himself. You understand what I mean? Opposite to his stretch. And be soft and nice. And he can have totally that to equal it. Or he can have, for example, if that say the person is not a married person, how does that release that softness? Maybe the person released in children's ministry. And the opposite side, he's dealing with criminals. Like a policeman. Opposite side, with children. Oh, children ministry. Yes, little children. Yes. Yes. After that. Of course, he must not become a tyrant to children. After the reverse opposite finish. He must know how to balance. But with children, you got to be soft. You got to be more gentle, and he treats them and all that. And so he finds here's a man who could minister to criminals and then minister to children, and he finds he's quite balanced. His two opposites balance each other. Plus he got other friends who are very soft with him, but if all his friends are tough and hard, then finish. If all his friends happen to be from that sector, all criminals, he's going to be off balance a bit. But he has some friends who have the softness to bring the softness out of his life. Maybe have a few of his other sisters or something, or from family sisters who are very soft and bring out his softness. The other side brought out his hardness, and so he becomes more balanced. Plus he goes to children's ministry combination, and so there are various combinations to produce balance in our character. And remember this, there is no way you can stretch without all these things taking place. Yes.
After the person works from 9 to 5, 8 hours considered public life, if it is, then he has to spend 8 hours in solitude, which is pretty important.
Yes. That is why Newton's law has to be defined by Einstein's law in that area. Because in Einstein's law, one tiny molecule can produce a lot of energy. So 1 hour in that solitude, in that kind of a real deep one, can produce equal to that, which balance gives you time for other things. Which is why we need that to come in. If it's exactly equal, life seems impossible, not enough time. So that's why Einstein's law comes forth. One, do you know how much energy it takes to blow a whole city down? Just this much of material. That's all it takes in Einstein's law, which is literally impossible. Now, sometimes you see pictures of atomic bomb looks big, but not much. It's just this much. It's big because they got to keep it separate, and all the electronics that run it so that it could bang together at high speed and bring it together. Yeah. It is possible also. It's that, again, the energy, no, the distress. Here he withholds, down there must release. Reward. And so my advice is, don't go abnormal. Don't go into abnormals. Because when you become abnormally hard, somewhere has to be abnormal reward. And normally it's not. Be normal. Now, of course, normal is relative. But normal in the sense that comfort, your comfort level is there. And you know that you're still steady, you're holding it steady. You're not like overstretched kind of thing. Beyond. Just like when people are running, sometimes they know their body cannot take it, they still push things on. Exhaustion. So you must know where your level is. Now, as you develop your strength, you can be, instead like of being a balloon, you can be a basketball. How long can you bounce a balloon? Not long. But if you develop your inner man, your stretchability, your inner man is stronger, instead of being a balloon, you become a basketball. And in a sense, your normal is abnormal for people because you're stronger. You wouldn't throw a balloon at a wall, but you can throw a basketball at a wall. Because your inner man is stronger. So that is the change of the whole character. And you can do things that are beyond people's normal ability. Praise the Lord.